Today's shiur is Masechta Chul and Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, the first words on top of the Amud. As we know, the proper way of doing Shechita is by cutting an animal, the Simonim, or most of the two Simonim, the Kana and the Veshit, the Trachea and the Esophagus, and by cutting them properly, as we will be learning in our coming shiurim, one has done proper Shechita. Says our Gemara, Amar of Zera Amishnul, Libain Sachet B'Shachetba, if somebody made a knife very hot, and then he used it for Shechita, the halacha is Shechita Sikshere, that the Shechita is considered a valid Shechita, even though, certainly, if the Simonim were burnt, rather than being cut, it would not be a valid Shechita. We can be certain, says the Gemara, that Chiduda Kaidim Lilabuna, the first the simonim are cut, and only after they are cut is there heat there. And as the Rashba explains, not only do we say that the simonim are cut prior to their being burnt, actually we have to assume, says the Rashba, that there is no burning at all in the cutting of the simonim this way, because if all that happens, says the Rashba, is that the simonim are cut before they get burnt, that wouldn't be enough because there's still some burning. And the simonim, as we said at the beginning of our shir, have to be completely cut, no burning at all. Rather, what the Gemara means, you come clear on the Gemara in a moment, is that all the simonim are cut and there's no heat at all on the simonim. Ask the Gemara, and with the Rashba, the Gemara is very understandable, Vikat Stadim, isn't there a problem that the sides, that the fire, that the knife, not only is the sharpness cut, but the sides of the knife are hot, and don't they burn the simonim? Answers the Gemara, Beis HaShchita Mirvach Ravach. As they're cutting, the simonim spread, and since as they're cutting, the simonim spread, there never is any fire on the simonim, and therefore the simonim are completely cut only because of the cutting and not because of any burning. Tosis points out, were there to be a situation where the simonim were burnt, even though it was during the act of shechita, the animal would be a trefa, because it would be considered a situation of nekuvas haveshet, that there's a hole in the veshet. The burning would be causing a hole in the veshet. And whenever we have a nekuvas haveshet, even if it only became a nekuvas haveshet before, during the shechita, not that it was nekuvas haveshet before the shechita, it's already considered a not kosher animal. Other rishonim disagree, and other rishonim seem to learn that if it wasn't a nekuvas haveshet before the shechita, if it only becomes a nekuvas haveshet during the shechita, the animal is not considered non-kosher. The Gemara's question, according to them, is to be understood much more simply, that if the sides are burning the simonim, not cutting the simonim, for which the Gemara answers that there is no burning here, as there is only cutting. Interesting shaila amongst the Rishonim. Clearly, a nekuvas haveshet, as Tosfos taught us, is an animal that's not kosher. The only question that we've been discussing is if an animal only becomes a nekuvas haveshet during the act of shechita, does it fall into that category of a nekuvas haveshet? And the question that the Rishonim debate is a nekuvas haveshet considered a trefa, or is a nekuvas haveshet considered a nevela? We know in halacha there's a very significant difference between an animal which is a trefa or an animal that's a nevela. An animal that's a trefa, which means that the animal has a defect, is an animal that if you will shecht it, will not be tamed. Whereas an animal that was a nevela, that was killed not through shechita, nevela is metama. So it would seem that a nekuvas haveshet should fall into the category of a trefa. But it's interesting to note
the most Rishonim say that a Nekuvas Aveshit is in the category of a Neveila. And the Achronim try to understand why is it different than any other defect that it falls into the category of a Trefa. Why is this considered a Neveila? So the Beis Halevi first attempts to say that this is a special halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that even though all other defects fall into the category of trefa, this is in the category of a neveila. But then the Beis Halevi gives a different explanation. He says that shechita, for something to be considered a shechita, it's only when you cut a siman that's complete, a veshit that is a whole veshit. When the veshit is not whole, that is not considered, and then you slit it, it's not considered an act of shechita, or it's not capable of even having a shechita. And therefore, a nekuvas haveshit remains a nevela and not a trefa. Achiezer says along the same line, because he says when there's a hole in the veshit, so that spot where there is the hole can't be geshachten, it can't be cut, because it already has a hole. In order for it to be a valid shechita, it has to be that every spot on the veshit has to be able to be cut. What would be the nafkamina between these two explanations? The halacha is that midaraisa, a bird only needs the shechita of one siman. So if we're going to follow the second explanation we get from the Beis Halevi and Reb Chaim Oizer, that this isn't an act of shechita, it makes no difference an animal or a bird. But if we're going to say the first explanation, that there's a special halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that the siman has to be whole, that maybe is only by an animal where you have to shecht both simanim, perhaps that halacha will not apply by a bird. Before we go further now, Gemara, a word of introduction. We know that the Torah teaches us the dinim of tzaras. And one of the categories of tzaras that's mentioned in the Torah is a tzaras of michva and a tzaras of shchit. The definition of michva is a burn. The definition of shchin is an inflammation. The halachas of these tzaras are as follows. Unlike all the other tzaras that we're accustomed to learn about throughout halacha, the halacha of the tzaras is of michva shchin is that if somebody had a burn or an inflammation, and then it begins to heal, and there's a discoloration, it's shown to the kohen. If the kohen sees on that nega a white hairs, the halacha is that he automatically declares that person to be a metzayer. If there are no white hairs, the kohen quarantines that individual for a week, and after a week, the kohen examines that individual. If there are white hairs or the tzaras spread, then the person is declared tamei. If in the absence of the white hair or the spreading of the tzaras, the person is automatically declared tahor. Unlike other halachas of tzaras, where we know the halacha is that he's quarantined for a second week. Furthermore, what is the size? What is the minimal size of this tzaras that the person should be considered tamei? The shear is the size of a gris. A gris is the size where 36 hairs grow. Typically, in halacha, a gris is considered either the size of a dime or a penny. That is a very important halacha, which will emerge in our Gemara. Since the Torah, even though the halachas, as we just explained, of michva and shchin are identical, the fact that the Torah lists them as two separate parashas, the reason being is because if you have a chatzi gris, a half a gris of michva, and a half a gris of shchin, they will not combine. You have to have a gris of the whole. Another nafkamina, as Rabbeinu Gershom teaches us, is if someone was quarantined because of a tumah shchin, and then on that spot a michva forms, so he has to be re-quarantined, so to speak,
and we start the count from the beginning. Whereas if there's a shin forming next to an existing shin, we don't start the count again. So again begins the Gemara. Leaven shvut, if somebody heated up a piece of metal, vehikabah, and somebody was hit with this hot piece of metal, and there's now a wound which is ultimately healed and has a neg on it. The question the Gemara poses is, how do we look at this situation? Mishum shchin nidan or mishum michvah nidan? Is it considered shchin or michvah? Says the Gemara, l'may nafkumina. Why do we have to know? Answers the Gemara, as we explained, l'kritanya, as we learned in the Braisa. Shchin u michvah mitam b'shvu echad b'shnei simon. After a week of being quarantined, if somebody has a negash mich shechin or a negav michva, the person will become tamei if there was seir lovin, if there's white hair, or pisyon, or it's spread. Tosfos actually points out that why does the Gemara focus on the metamin? The Gemara should have focused on the metaharin, that if they don't have it, they become tar. Furthermore, says the Brice of Loma Chilkin HaKosov, why did the Torah separate the parasha of Shchin and the parasha of Mechva? Loma, Shem and Starfin Zemizet, to teach us, as we said earlier, that a Chatzi Gris of Shchin and a Chatzi Gris of Mechva do not combine. B'tanya, furthermore, we learned in the Brice, Eze Shchin Eze Mechva. What is considered a Shchin and what is considered a Mechva? And as the Rishonim explained, certainly, where it's obvious that it's a burn, or certainly where it's obvious that it's an inflammation, that's not what the Gemara is discussing. That's obviously it's either a shchin or a mikvah. What the Gemara is discussing is a situation where it's not that obvious. And therefore, says the Gemara, loka be'etz or be'evin, if somebody was hit with a piece of wood or with a rack, be'gefes with olive sediment, be'chamit feria, with water from the Chamei Tferia, or b'chol dovash loin ba'al machmas or anything that doesn't come directly from fire, l'suyei evim yikara, lead as it's taken out of the ground, zeu shchin, that falls in the category of shchin. Eizem michva, what exactly is the category of michva? Nichva b'gecheles, if somebody got burned by coal, b'remetz, hot ashes, b'sid reseach, hot lime, b'gipsus reseach, another hot material, that was heated by fire, or b'chol dovah abor machmas or anything that comes because of fire, l'suyeh chamei or something that was heated by fire. That means if you had water cooking on fire and that water, that boiling water, scalded somebody, zui michva, that is in the category of a michva. The Mefarshim asks that our Gemara says that chamei tferia is in the category of shchin, not michva. But the Mefarshim asks that the Gemara says that from where do the Chamei Tveria become hat? The Chamei Tveria become hat because they over a pischoy shel Gehenim. They pass the entrance of Gehenim, and Gehenim obviously is hat, and therefore the Chamei Tveria got hat. So the Mefarshim asks, if that's the definition of Chamei Tveria, that's where Chamei Tveria comes. So it's heated by fire. It's water that's heated by fire. And our Gemara just said that water that's heated by fire is considered a michva, not a shkin. So some say that not everybody agrees that that's the way the Chamei Tveria get hot. And others say that even if it gets hot that way, we cannot compare the fire of Gehenna, which is not a regular fire that we know of, to the fire that we're speaking about, for example, when you boil up some water. And continues Gemara. B'tanya, the Brice teach us, Shchin u Michva. If you have on one spot on somebody's body, he had a Shchin and a Michva on that spot. So the question is, how should it be looked at? Should it be looked at as a Shchin or should it be looked at as Michva? So says the Brice, if Shchin came, Kodol Michva, at first there was an inflammation there, and then a burn, bitel michvas ashkin. So we say that what came second, the michva, the burn, it's considered in the category of a michva. If, however, vice versa, michva kaidem ashkin, there was first a burn and then an inflammation, So there Allah is Bitl Shchinas HaMikva, it's going to be considered Shchinah HaMikva. Now, goes the Gemara back to the question that we began this sugya with. V'hocha Echi Domi. Now the Gemara asks, what exactly happened here? Kigoy, we're referring to a situation, the Havav Echatzi Gris Shchin Mikara, that there was a Shchin the size of a Chatzi Gris, the Liban Shvud Vehikaba, and then somebody heated up a piece of metal and hit someone and on the spot right next to the shkin. V'nafak by chatzigris acher. And now another nega developed the size of a chatzigris. Mai, what will be the halacha? Chaf to kodem, do we say the first there was a shkin, an inflammation, and then v'oslei havlo, and then there's a burn. So we, as we just said, we always follow what came last, and therefore this will be in the category of a mikvah, this new burn, and therefore we're going to have a situation that the two spots that are next to each other are a shchin or mikvah, have a shchin or mikvah, and as we said earlier, a shchin or mikvah loy mitzdarfim, don't combine to the shear of a gris. Adomo, or does the halacha look at it as if havla kodem, the first came the mikvah, first came the burn, and then for us the chafta or mevatle lahavlo, and then comes the inflammation, the shchin, and therefore this new spat will also be considered a situation of shchin, vavle shchin or shchin. So we're going to have two spots of shchin right next to each other, and they're mitzdarif to the shear of a gris. So the Gemara wants to suggest that the answer to this question is in the first halacha that we learned in today's shir, Tashma, Domer Zera Mishmul, Livein Sakin V'Shachet Bo, that if somebody has a hot knife and he shechts, Shchitasoi Kshera. So he said it's considered a valid act of Shchita. For the Gemara explained, Chidudo Kaidim Lilibuna. The first came the cutting, which would be the equivalent of the Shchin, the inflammation, and then came the Libuna, the burning. Alma, so we clearly see that the Chafta Kodem, that it's considered first in such a situation, it's considered first a Shchin and then a Mikvah. Says the Gemara, we can't bring a Raya from this case. Because we're referring here to a situation, Chidut Shani, where it was a sharp instrument. A sharp instrument, that's where clearly the Halacha is, that first is the Chavata, the Shchin before the mikvah. But the question that the Gemara is discussing is where it's not a sharp instrument, it's just a piece of metal that's a blunt instrument. And therefore it may have a very different halacha. Tashma, so the Gemara attempts from a different braisa. The braisa says, Liban Shvud Vehikaba, if somebody heated up a piece of metal and hit somebody with it, Nidin Mishim Chirchus Eish. It's considered a situation of mikvah. Obviously, why is it considered a situation of mikvah? Because Alma, obviously, it's considered the Tchafta Kodem. The first there was an inflammation, and then there's a burn. So isn't that an answer to our question? Answers the Gemara that too is not necessarily a Raya. Because Hasanami, there too is referring to a situation, the Barzi Mervers. The first, it was with a sharp point that the person was hit. There, certainly, it's a situation of Chidut. And a situation of Chidut, we've already said, we always consider it first a shchin and then a mechvah. But again, that isn't an answer to our question. We were not dealing with a sharp instrument. We were dealing with a blunt instrument. We don't have an answer. We don't really know what comes first, the mechvah or the shchin. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. Sakin shal avodas kachavim. The sakin of avodas zara, mutar lushchitpa. One may use it for shchita. However, also lachta v'basar, you can't cut meat with it. Why? So as the Rishonim explain our Gemara, the basis of our Gemara is that the Torah HaKadosha says la yidbak b'yotchem u'ma menacherim, that one may not have any benefit from avodah zara, and therefore, if you have a knife of avodah zara, you should not be allowed to shecht with it. However, when you're shechting an animal, a healthy animal, Your act of shchita is considered an act of mekalkel. Why is it considered an act of mekalkel, because a live animal has much more use than a dead animal. A dead animal could only be used for eating. A live animal could be used for working. A live animal could be used to raise, to breed more animals, and therefore a live animal is considered more valuable than a dead animal, and killing an animal therefore is considered in the category of mekalkel. The Mefarshim point out, but perhaps this din is only applicable by an animal. For as we said, an animal that's live can be used both for work and to breed further animals. But by a bird, where a bird is only used when it's alive for breeding, birds are not used for work, perhaps the halacha by a bird will be different than by an animal. However, most Mefarshim I saw seem to explain that since breeding further generations is certainly considered more valuable than just eating. Once you eat up the bird, you have nothing from it anymore. So even by a bird, killing a healthy bird is considered an act of mekalkel, not an act of misakin. The Rishonim furthermore ask, if our Gemara is saying that killing a live animal is an act of mekalkel, we know that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos teaches us that if one shechs an animal on Shabbos, it's considered a malacha. But we also know that on Shabbos the halacha is that kol hamekalkel and peturim, that if one does a malacha that's considered kilkel, it's not considered a malacha. So if our Gemara says that shechting a healthy animal is considered kilkel, why is the halacha that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, it's considered Yom Mechal Shabbos? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that for Shabbos, really, Melechus Machshavos Asra Torah. As soon as somebody intended to do a Melacha, he's Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara teaches us that Kol HaMekalkelin, that if your Melacha is an act of Kilkel, it's not considered a Melacha. But when is Mekalkel considered not an act of Melacha? Only in a situation where it's a complete kilkel. No one could suggest, say to Rishonim, that shechting an animal in order to be able to eat it is a pure act of kilkel. There's an element of kilkel, as we've been explaining, but it's not complete kilkel. And since it's not complete kilkel, that's why Yechayiv on Shabbos. Other Rishonim take the opposite approach. Their approach is that by Avodah Zarah, only if it's a complete act of tikkun, if it's pure benefit, that's when you're over the lav of lo yibek b'yotchem umim and acherim, and you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. But in a situation where there's any element of kilkel, even though it's not pure kilkel, but there's an element of kilkel, it's already not considered that you're not allowed to have benefit from avodah zarah. And the Gemara explains the rulings that just gave. Mutar l'shchit bo. You're allowed to use this knife of Avodah Zarah to shech with it, because mekalkel hu, it's, as we explained, an act of kilkel. However, but also lach of basar, you can't use it to cut a piece of meat, because once you have a piece of meat, using this knife to cut with, it's certainly considered mesaken hu, an act of benefit, and therefore you're not allowed to have benefit from the knife of Avodah Zarah. Qualifies Rava, what we just said. Amar Rava, pam shashoichet asar. Sometimes shechting will be usur, b'musakenis, where the animal is very ill, and it's not going to survive. So shechting then is doing the right and smart thing, and therefore it's considered an act of tikkun. And sometimes, mechatech mutter, sometimes cutting a piece of meat will be mutter. It will be considered an act of kilko, and therefore you may use the knife of Avodah Zarah. Where? Be'atmid the kaimel kovena. When you have a large piece of meat, that can be given as a gift, as a present, and now by cutting it up, it's not that nice. It can't be used for a present anymore. So therefore, that cutting is considered an act of kilkel. There's a fundamental machlokes rishonim how to understand this gemara. Many rishonim, the Rosh, and the Rashba, and many other rishonim, take the approach that our Gemara is only speaking in a L'chatchila situation. A Gemara is teaching us l'chatchila, you should not use the knife of Avodah Zarah to cut meat or to shecht a sick animal, but b'dieved, if one did use such a knife, the halacha is that you're allowed to eat the meat, you're allowed to benefit from it. Although the Rishonim do go on to say that if you use the knife in a situation that you weren't supposed to, the knife of Avodah Zarah, just like the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Avodah Zarah, that if you used wood or coals of Avodah Zarah, Yoylech Hanol Yam HaMelech, here too the halacha would be Yoylech Hanol Yam HaMelech, which means you're not allowed to derive benefit. What Yoylech Hanol Yam HaMelech exactly means is also Machlokes Rishonim. Some say that you have to take the value of the piece of meat when it's cut versus when it's not cut, and the difference in value has to be disposed of. Others say that you have to get the value of what it would be to rent such a knife for use, and that value should be disposed of. But the Rambam has a different approach altogether. The Rambam's approach is the lechatchila, the knife of Avodah Zarah, may never be used under any circumstances. What the Gemara here is discussing, says the Rambam, is a b'dieved situation. The Gemara is saying that where it's an act of kilkul, the there b'dieved, you may use the knife. Where it's not an act of kilkul, the knife, then it's also even b'dieved. Although the Shach wants to explain that the Rambam is only referring to the case when you shechted an animal that was musukenes, that without this knife, this animal would be completely lost. That's where the Rambam holds that even b'dieved you can't have any benefit. But let's say you cut the meat with this knife, so there the value that the knife brought to you is not that great. There, says the Shach, even the Rambam would agree that the knife, that you could b'dieved eat that piece of meat. Why the Rambam takes such a strong position? The Beis Halevi explains, because the Rambam holds that not only is there an Isser to benefit from Avodah Zarah, there's an Isser to bring Avodah Zarah into your home, as the Pasuk says, V'loy Sovi Ta'eva L'toich Beisecha. So since bringing Avodah Zarah into one's home is such a strong Isser, that's why the Rambam holds that it's considered he holds that even with the evidence also. Furthermore, the Achroinim ask that why in every situation, even when you're shechting a healthy animal, is it not considered that you're benefiting from Avodah Zarah? Because the Achroinim explain their question. Yes, when we have a healthy animal and we begin slaughtering the animal, so it's considered, as we said at the beginning of this sugya, an act of kilkul, because it would be much better off to keep the animal alive. But ultimately, when we come and we already began shechting the animal, so the last drop of shechita, there certainly, it's the last act, the last inch of shechita, there it's certainly considered an act of benefit, because one is, otherwise the animal would have died, and one couldn't eat the animal if it didn't have a complete act of shechita. So why isn't it always considered an act of Misakin, and it should be at least with the Evid Asa B'Hanah? So some Achroyim take the approach that, and we're going to learn the sugya later on, the Yeshna L'Shchita V'Tchila V'Atzayif. The Halacha doesn't look at Shchita as separate acts of cutting. The Halacha looks at the entire slit, the entire act of Shchita, as one big Maisa Shchita. And since, as we explained, the beginning of the Maisa Shchita is considered here an act of Misakin, it remains an act of Misakin throughout. That's how some Achronim explain. Other Achronim explain that this last drop of Shchita, where there it's clearly an act of Tikkun, not an act of Mekalkel, is not considered a Maisa Shchita, because just cutting a little isn't considered a Maisa Shchita. And Al Gemara is saying that one can't do a Maisa Shchita with a knife of Avodah Zarah. Just cutting a little piece is not considered an act of Shchita. Furthermore, the Rishonim and Achronim discuss. The why is there not, why don't we apply over here the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu? Why is one shechting? One is shechting to fulfill the mitzvah shechita. And he's shechting to fulfill the mitzvah shechita, we should say mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, and I'm not having hanor from the avodah zarah. And in fact, there are those that suggest that the Rif doesn't bring down this entire Gemara for that very reason. Because the Rif said this is a situation of a mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. However, others say that we don't apply the concept of mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu only when the act is a pure act of mitzvah. Here, it's not a pure act of mitzvah because the person is going to be able to eat the meat. Eating meat is not considered a mitzvah. It's considered the person wants to enjoy the piece of meat. And therefore, we don't apply the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Others say that this is only considered a grumma, because all what's being, it goes back to something we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. The purpose here is not to do an act of shechita, it's just to take away the issa nevela. When the act is only a grumma, to take away an isser, we don't apply the concept of mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. And they use the same concepts to answer the question, kamilsa d'om rachmano lo savid, anything the Torah said should be done, other than mahani, how could this be considered a valid shechita if the Torah said not to use this knife? So that, again, the Mefarshim explained that the shechita isn't to be viewed, the knife is not to be viewed as an act of shechita, it's just to take away the issa nevela, and therefore the concept of the kamisa d'amar rachmana leisavid the oved lemahani doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, b'tepiklei, but what it should be usher mishum shamnunas diyisura, because this knife is a knife that has in it iser. It was a knife that was used for non-kosher animals. And it's important to read the last Rashi in the Amid in order to be able to understand this Gemara's question. Rashi says, afagavdu mekalkel, even though as we've been identifying, it's considered an act of mekalkel, also lachta mishum shamnunas the surah the nevela shenivul b'sakim. So Rashi seems to be learning that the issue over here is that in this knife there are belias of non-kosher. They used the knife to cut previously non-kosher animals, and now when I'm cutting the neck, these belias will come out. Other rishonim, however, take a very different approach. And they say that the issue here is not an issue of blias. The issue is an issue that there's be'ed, there's grease left on the knife. The grease of iser that's left on the knife, now I'm using to cut a kosher animal. How could I do that? That shamnunis, that non-kosher grease, will come on the kosher animal and should therefore be usur. The reason Rashi seems to be focused on the Blias and not on the Be'en, because as most Mefarshim explained, it was quite typical that they would wipe the knife before they used it, and that would take care of any shamunis. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, what Rashi's coming to teach us is that since there's a concern with the Blias here, because this was a non-kosher knife, the Gemara's question is that why do we have to be speaking specifically about the knife of Avodah Zarah? Any knife that we have this concern should be also to be used. Furthermore, the Rishonim use this Gemara to teach us a very important halacha. We know the halacha is that stam kalim, that the halacha views kalim that we're not familiar with as ena b'nei yonim, that we consider them that they haven't been used in the last 24 hours. Furthermore, the halacha is that a blia after 24 hours is considered pogum. It's considered as if it's completely foul. So why, says the Rashba, would we need to be concerned here?
aren't we referring to a keli that hasn't been, a knife that hasn't been used for 24 hours, and therefore the bliya is pogum? Says the Rashba, from here we see a very important halacha, that even when we know that the keli has a tam pogum, we're still not supposed to use a keli that has in it even a tam pogum. Therefore, answers the Gemara, what type of knife must we be speaking about here? We're speaking about a knife that's chadosha, a new knife that was never used, and therefore doesn't have any bleeds. Ask the Gemara, if we're talking about chadosha, about a new knife, Bein Rabbi Shmuel, Bein Rabbi Kiva will agree that a knife which is only mishamshe avodas chachamim hayim, it's only used as an accessory for avodah zarah, mishamshe avodas chachamim, and asurim atshiyabdu, they don't become asur until they were actually used. So if this is a new knife that was never used, why is it considered the knife of avodah zarah that we should have an issue with it? Answers the Gemara, Ibois Eimah, the pasuk by Gavzal avodas chachamim, that was used to chop wood for avodah zarah. So on one hand, it is considered already mishamshe avodah zarah, it was used on behalf of avodah zarah, but we need not be concerned about any bleis, because it was never used to cut meat. Ibois Eimah, Yishana, and indeed it was used for cutting meat, but it's talking about a situation, Shalibna Ba'ar, where it was kashit. And the Mefarshim discuss in this Gemara what is considered the kashering, because we know that the concept, the philosophy behind kashering is that the way something became treif, that's the way it becomes kosher. If it became treif, let's say through boiling, the kashering is through boiling. If it came through treif with just direct fire, then kashering is through liban. And the question here is, how is a knife kashered? From our Gemara it seems that a knife has to be kashered with liban. Even though the Rishonim ask that it seems in the Masechta Pesachim that knives that you want to use for Pesach are kashered with Hagolah. So some Rishonim take the approach that even though our Gemara uses the words libna, it doesn't mean libun. But agamar means hagol. Others, the Rabbeinu Tam, wants to differentiate between there was a blias isser or blias heter. By Pesach, when the knife was by way of chametz, chametz all year is heter, and therefore hagolah is adequate. However, here, when it was by way of mamish isser requires liban. Another dafkamina that the Rishonim want to make is between big knives and small knives. Big knives require liban, small knives hagolah is adequate. Continues the Gemara, Itmar. Hashaych of the Sakish Lavi Kachavim. Here we're not talking about the knife of the Avodah Zarah. Here we're talking the knife of an Akum, of a Goy. What would be the halacha with the meat that was slaughtered? Rav Amar Kailif, we have to peel off some of the meat with a knife cut. Rav Vachan Amar Mediach, it's enough to wash it. Vachloikas Rishonim, how to understand what is the concern here? Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara's concern is, again, because of Blias, and some Rishonim explain that the Gemara's concern is because of actual grease that's left on the knife itself. Says the Gemara, Leim B'Hakim Nafki, perhaps the Machloikas is the Masavar, based on Shechita Tzonin. Before we go further, when we speak about Kailuf, the Mefarshim point out, those that learned Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya are familiar with this, that there are three categories. There's a category of greda, which means just scraping. There's a category of klifa, which means taking off a little more, peeling. And then there's a category of metilas makom, which means you have to take off a larger piece. Our Gemara is teaching us that it's enough just to, that what will be required here is klifa. So the Gemara wants to suggest that what is the machloikis between these two mandamer. The masover, the mandamer that holds the mediach is adequate, holds the base of shchita is tzoynen, the base of shchita is cold, and therefore it's cold, there is no bliya. A masover, base of shchita reseach, that it's hot, and there for it requires a klifa. So the Rashba asks the obvious question, how could there be a machloikis and metzias. How can it be machloikis in a fact if it is or isn't hot? So the Rashba answers that certainly the heat of the Beis HaShechita is not the same heat all over that's considered Yatzel at this point. That's why the Achrayim who attempt to define in degrees what exactly is the temperature of Yad Seledis, say we can't use the neck of an animal, the temperature of the neck of an animal, to tell us what the shear is. Because the shear of Yad Seledis of an animal is certainly, the shear, the heat of the neck of an animal, certainly is not full-fledged Yad Seledis. Rather, the Madam that holds that Klifa is required is that by the neck there's a special din, this mandama holds, that even though it doesn't have the normal, the required degree of heat, it is by Leia. And the other mandama says no, only where we have the right temperature, which is considered Yad Seledis Bo, need we be concerned. Everywhere else we don't need to be concerned. Says Marloy, that's not necessarily the machlokes. The Kulama, everybody perhaps agree, the Beis HaShechita is Reseichu, that it's hot. Mandam Kailas. So the Mandam says that Kalif is adequate. Shaper is very understood. Kalif is required because it's hot and it's Beleya. Mandam Mediyas, the Mandam holds that you have to do Adocha, holds that even though it's very hot, I did the treaty Simonim Levlue Lefuke Dam. Since here the Simonim are busy expelling the blood that's as it's being cut. So since it's busy with expelling that blood, even though normally it would be Balea, here it's not Bali. In Ikadamri, a third way of explaining the Machloikas, is that everybody agrees the Beis HaShechita is Tzoyna. Mandam Medea, therefore the Mandam that says that washing is adequate, Shaper is very understandable. Mandam Koylif, the Mandam that says that you eat Klifa, here you have another factor, you have the pressure of the knife, Dukka de Sakina. When you have Dufka the Sakina, it's Bol. And here we have a very big Machloikas Rishonim. But this is the Gemara that teaches us that where you have Dufka the Sakina, therefore kashering is required. But the Rishonim debate, do we need Dufka the Sakina with heat? Because as we've been learning, the neck does have some level of heat. So when you have a combination of Dufka the Sakina with heat, that's when you have an issue. But if it's not, if there's no heat at all, Dukka de Sakina will not require kashering. Or Dukka de Sakina requires kashering even without heat. We paskin, the Dukka de Sakina to require kashering either requires heat or it should be a davachas. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point at the Rishayim ask, why is there a question if it needs rinsing? It needs rinsing anyway, because we have to rinse off the blood. We know that blood has to be rinsed off. So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim. One answer the Rishonim suggests is that for blood, it wouldn't require such a thorough rinsing as it does because of the bleus. Another explanation that I saw is that if one wants to roast meat, he doesn't have to rinse the meat. Although the Mefarsh asked on that question, on that answer, the din that if you roast meat, you don't have to rinse it, you don't have to salt it, is only on the blood that's inside the meat. But blood that's on the outside, even if you're going to roast it, has to be rinsed off. Another teretz that I saw in the Rishonim is that if we're rinsing it because of the blood, we don't have to rinse it immediately after the shechita. But if we're rinsing it because of the bleya, we have to rinse it immediately after the shechita. Continue the Gemara. Second treifa. If a knife was used to shecht an animal which is a treifa, pligav ravacha ravina, chadam abachamim, one says that you have to go through a whole kashering, that knife has to be properly kashered, the chadam abatzoyin, and one is that just rinsing it off with cold water is adequate, because he doesn't hold that any bleya goes into the knife. Vilchsen, the Gemara said, that loch is a field abatzoyin, you could use cold water, and furthermore, says the Gemara, the ika. Belisa, the parsa, if somebody has a stiff rag, lemikvare, with which to wipe the knife off with, lo tzorich, that is enough. Rashi says
that this is only referring to a situation when a knife was used to kill a treifa. But when regarding the previous question, when a kosher animal was shechted with a non-kosher knife, there kashering would be required. Ask the Gemara, Ulamandam Bacham, the mandam that holds that it requires a full-fledged kashering, my kama, Mishum the Gebola Isura, because it's being Balea from the Trefa. Ask the Gemara that Teirus, even if you kill a kosher animal, an animal till its slaughter is an Avim and a Chai, or as the Mechas Chinuch explains, it may not be in the category of Avim and a Chai, it may be in the category of Bosom and a Chai. Other Mepharshim say it's in the category of an animal which is Eina Zavuach, not properly slaughtered. An animal that's not properly slaughtered is Usur. So why are we not concerned? Ask the Gemara, Amos Bola, when does the Bali begin? L'kichayma, when it gets hot. Amos Kichayma, when does it get hot? L'kigamer Shchita, only at the end of the Shchita. He Shata, at that point, Hatera Hava. But from here we see, clearly says the Gemara, that live things can give off Baliya, perhaps. So, I saw that the Chasam Sofer says in the Tshuva, he asked the following question. He says, a live chicken fell into a pot of milk, and the chicken was taken out, and it's still alive. Do we have to be concerned for Baliyas from a live chicken? The Chasam Sofer says, based on this Gemara, that we clearly see that even live things have the concept of Baliya. Amar Yehuda Marav, Hatabach, a shoychet, and in those days the person who was a shoychet was also the butcher who sold the meat. Tzarech shloisha sekinim, needs three knives. Achash a shoychet boy, one knife to actually do the shchita, and you have to keep it separately, that shouldn't get ruined. As we've discussed, the slightest snick makes it disqualified. Achash shemechatech by basar, one to cut the meat with. Achash shemechatech by chalav, and one to cut the chayl with. Ask the Gemara, v'leskan lechada, why not just have one knife? Lachtik ba'basa, v'adik lachtik ba'chalovim. Use it first for the meat, and then for the chalif. And as Mepharshim say, they always clean the knives when they went from one animal to the other animal. Answers the Gemara, the reason we don't allow that to happen, is gzeir shem yachtik chalovim v'achtik ba'basa. Because in the first, you reverse the order. You'll use it to cut the chalif. There'll be bleas in the knife from the chalif, and then you'll use it to cut meat. Ask the Gemara, so if we're concerned for that, when we have two knives as well, hashtem nami machlefle, why are we not concerned that there's going to be this kind of confusion? Answers the Gemara, kivin that tzuchin tray is located. So the way most Mepharshim explain the Gemara, we have two knives, and each knife is marked. We know which is the meat knife and which is the chalif knife. The Meiri takes a different approach. The Meiri's approach is, the fact that you have two knives, where you could have just had one, is enough of a reminder. But as I said, most Mepharshim explain that you have two knives and each knife is marked. And this is the source for our minig that we have separate kalim for meat and dairy, for milchids and fleishiks, and they're marked. Furthermore, this is the basis for what the Magen Avraham teaches us. The one should not have one set of silverware that he kashers back and forth from dairy to meat, or vice versa. Because again, as Al Gemara said, we need to be concerned michleflei. And that's why the halacha is, you shouldn't kasher from meat to dairy. But the Chasam Sofer says that if you're kashering anyway, because let's say it became non-kosher, or you're kashering for Pesach, so once you're kashering, not specifically for the reason to kasher from meat to dairy, or vice versa, then you're kashering for a reason of kashrus, that time you could use to switch your silverware from meat to dairy or vice versa. V'yomer of Yehuda Merav, Hatavach Tzor Shnei Kelim Shemayim, needs to have two separate vessels for water, Ech Shemadiyach Be'Basar, one that he washes the meat in, Ech Shemadiyach Be'Chalavim, and one that he washes the chalav in. Again, ask the Gemara, V'naskan Lechada, why isn't one enough? V'Neyadiyach Be'Basar, first use it to wash the meat, V'adach Medeyach Be'Chalavim. Answers the Gemara, maybe he's going to wash the chalif first, and there'll be belias in the water from the chalif, and then you shouldn't put the kosher meat into it. Ask the Gemara,
So why still are we not concerned when you have two kelim? Answers the Gemara. Kim, if you have two vessels, this lay a kera, each one is marked, this is the meat one, this is the chaylev one. Amar Memish made Rapapa, like Lischif Inish Kafli Alay Psra. A person shouldn't put fats upon the meat. Dikit Tarba, the Dov Tarba, the chaylev will drip Ubala Bisra and be absorbed by the meat. Yehachi asked the Gemara, Ketrit Sinami, when there's nothing under it, why would not be concerned, Dov Tarba Ubala Bisra, that you have meat next to the fat, the fat will ooze out into the meat. Answers the Gemara, Karma Mafsik Matatoi, there's a membrane around the meat, and that membrane prevents any absorption. Ask the Gemara, if there's that membrane, so when you put the fat on top of the meat, you have that membrane that should prevent absorption. Answers the Gemara, either the Mamsha Yoda the Tafka, since the person is always working with this piece of meat, Maftis, the membrane is crumbled, and therefore the fat will go into the meat when the fat is on top of the meat.